Well, one very sobering aspect of the impact and prevalence of COVID-19 is that increasing numbers of people are making a will, perhaps people who perhaps would never have given much thought to doing such a thing before now. So guidance has been issued to solicitors on how they should provide these legal services safely in the current environment. We can talk to our reporter, Cian McCormack. And Cian, this is based on a letter which has been issued by the Law Society of Ireland.
Yes, Audrey, the circular was issued to solicitors all around Ireland. It's a guidance for making wills during the COVID-19 emergency, and it sets out how solicitors can draft and execute wills while adhering to social distancing, cocooning and self-isolation. The letter was issued by Michelle O'Boyle, the President of the Law Society of Ireland, and some of the measures in it include the use of Skype, FaceTime and email, while others involve wills being signed through windows or in open spaces. And of course, this is all good news because it means if you want to make a will or change a will, there's more flexibility on how it can be done. I spoke to the President of the Law Society of Ireland, Michelle O'Boyle, about the impact the COVID-19 pandemic is having on how wills are drawn up.
I anticipate that COVID-19 has caused people to pause and to reflect on their own mortality. And there has certainly been a significant surge in the number of people wishing to either make a will or update an existing will.
And are you seeing that firsthand yourself at your practice?
Well, I am. In fact, this morning in my own office in Sligo, two existing wills were updated, whereby having taken detailed telephone instructions and after having the draft wills approved by email, the clients drove to the gate of our office building. The wills were signed and witnessed in the open courtyard of our office, observing safe distance and the protocols which I outlined to our practitioners. And I anticipate this has been replicated throughout the country.
Well, the first part of getting a will done is contacting your solicitor, and this can be done by phone. And what's interesting and new here is that people can give instructions about their will over the phone or by email. Again,
it's a completely new departure because heretofore, traditionally, the clients would have always attended at the solicitor's office. And the solicitor would have talked through the instructions and made a note of those instructions, discussed various options. Then the solicitor would draft the will. The client would then come back to discuss the draft will before it is finalised and signed. But now we are taking detailed instructions by telephone, as I say, and sometimes by email. This is a totally new departure.
That's Michelle O'Boyle there, President of the Law Society of Ireland. Cian, you mentioned Skype and FaceTime as well. How do they fit into all of this?
Well, when the will has been executed or finalised, it needs to be signed by a testator or the person making the will in the physical presence of two witnesses. Now, this can be done with proper social distancing procedures in the solicitor's office or even outside in an open space. But there's also guidance in this circular, this letter for solicitors about attending the home of the testator and also in other circumstances if the solicitor can't make it there at all. And those measures involve windows, car dashboards, and the use of Skype or FaceTime. Again, here's Michelle O'Boyle.
And if they're travelling to the client's home, the witnesses, being the solicitor and second witness, should travel separately. Or the client, in fact, can arrange a witness, such as a neighbour, to act as a second witness to the will. And in that situation, the solicitor will request the client to have a sanitised writing surface placed in front of a window, and the solicitor will put the will through the letterbox. The client will then execute the will, witnessed by two witnesses through the window, and then the witnesses will then sign the will in the visual presence of the testator. Alternatively, the will can be signed and witnessed on a dashboard of a car to maintain safe distancing. So essentially, it is again a whole new departure, whereas traditionally, the client came into the office, signed the will in the presence of the solicitor and a second witness. But now, because of the changed environment, it is a totally different procedure. However, it is still possible, you know, to accommodate the public in terms of signing wills in this way. Sometimes it may not be possible for the solicitor to travel to somebody's home. And in that event, we would then give detailed instructions in writing to the client. if we are posting out the will to the client and they are organising their own independent witnesses, in that event, if the client has broadband or Wi-Fi, we can then Skype or FaceTime them while they are attending to signing the will to ensure that they are carrying out the instructions correctly. Because ultimately, if the will is not correctly witnessed, the will is invalid.
That's Michelle O'Boyle there. So how does what we're doing here now and into the future because of COVID-19 compare to other countries, Cian?
Well, Audrey, one expert says that they could go further and that maybe there's a possibility that solicitors may need more changes as the COVID-19 emergency develops. Here's that expert, Professor John Mee from University College Cork's Law School.
Well, I think that if matters get even more serious, an even more radical move would be to, I suppose, allow no witnesses at all to be needed. That's been mooted in England and Wales, where they do have a category of privileged will, whereby a soldier or sailor in active service can make a will without the need for any witnesses. But I guess if somebody is very ill in isolation in an ICU ward, you know, there might be no other way for them to make a will. I guess I wouldn't see it as particularly radical. In particular, I guess because the president of the Law Society or the Law Society can't change the actual rules, so they can't change the law. It's just sort of advising solicitors, I guess, on maybe the limits of the current law and how they can best conform to that.
That's Professor John Mee from UCC. Cian, thank you so much indeed. Our reporter, Cian McCormick.